This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on SportsRadio740.com.
Especially since you posted your latest bracket predictions early this morning. And one of the things we noted is that your last bracket had Alabama as one of the first four out after losing badly at home against Florida. Your bracket this morning has Alabama as the last of the last four in now. Tell us why.
Well, it had more to do with Syracuse losing, obviously, than anything Alabama did. You know, and it just pushed Syracuse down below Alabama. But, Alabama's in trouble. I mean, don't let this fool you. They're 17-13. They've got a road game left. They're a terrible road team. And, you know, this is – They've got to go to the conference tournament. If they lose at A&M, they've got to win. Twice, maybe three times in the conference tournament.
Just to
have a good enough record. To have a good enough record to make the NCAA tournament.
And if they lose Saturday, are they out?
Regardless?
They'll certainly be out for now. But like I said, they got to win two or three games in the conference tournament to get back to contention.
Yeah.
But if they lose Saturday, then maybe lose.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
They got to win at least twice in the conference tournament, maybe
I'm
three
not
times.
Sure, man.
Get back
I'm not
in the contention.
Sure. Wow.
Just to have a good enough record to get considered.
Well, I think Avery's got to do some coaching because I don't know if you saw the game Tuesday night, Jerry, but.
I listened to some of it on the radio and it sounded pretty bad.
Yeah, it looked like they quit.
Well, I didn't get to see whether or not that happened, but I could tell on the radio that it just was not going well, and they could not find any kind of an answer to what Florida had going on either end of the floor.
Many of the positive Alabama listeners that we have who are trying to think of it positively is they think, trying to make a case, well, you know, they had some big wins in the RPI. That Oklahoma win doesn't look good anymore. Your stance on the RPI, Jerry, and how meaningful that is?
If that's all you have nothing. But it's an indicator of the kind of season that you've had. Alabama's at 59, I think, this morning.
Right.
So, I mean, that's usually, you get down around those numbers, your chances of making the tournament are not very good because you probably haven't had a good enough year. Not a bad year, but not a good enough year. But there'll be teams in the 50s and 60s to get in, but it's the RPI alone is not going to get you in, and RPI alone is not going to get you left out.
Interesting. Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com. Auburn is sort of limping down the stretch, a two-game losing streak, and they drop from a solid two now into a number three seed. Jerry, your appraisal of them and their chances and their requirements to stay a three or maybe get better?
Well, you just have to start winning again. You know, ever since they lost Macklemore, you know, they've lost three out of four. I mean, if you count the game he went out, the South Carolina game, they've lost three out of four, and I think, having a shorter bench and, having that be their real, significant post presence, not being there, I think it's hurt them. And they kind of look tired. So I wonder if, the legs have gone out from under them a little bit, if they need something of a break, which, the time before the SEC tournament might give them a little bit of a break.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, Jerry. I think the season's kind of caught up with them a little bit, and the lack of depth and everything else that's gone on, a nice rest, I don't think would be too bad. Now, you certainly don't want a team to lose, but if they did happen to maybe lose Saturday and possibly lose in the first game of the SEC tournament, might not be a bad thing in terms of rest and get ready and recharge, but I would think that would affect their seeding.
For sure.
No doubt.
Yeah, no question. They're probably more in a 4 or 5 range if that happens. I guess it depends. I mean, the thing about seeding is you don't really control your own destiny for seeding unless you're already at the top of the bracket, and then you're just holding on to it. But seeding is relative. So you could actually win and move down because somebody did better, or you could lose and move up because your loss wasn't as bad as someone else's or someone else was worse. So, those seeding is relative, and it's not just about what you do.
Jerry, I want to ask you about this just for a perspective, because the big news in college basketball this week was that explosive Yahoo Sports article detailing, a lot of the blue bloods in college basketball, maybe engaging in illicit practices. Will that impact the tournament at all? Is that
not
a big deal immediately?
No, not this year. If it would, we would have already seen it, because the players that were named in there that are current players have already been cleared to play by their schools. So the schools are going to play them. It doesn't affect the tournament. The NCAA isn't going to do anything, well, in part because they just don't move that fast, but also
right.
With regard to the things going on with the FBI, they're not doing any investigations at all on that stuff, because they're waiting. They don't want to appear to be getting in the way of the FBI. So they're letting the FBI stuff play out before they even investigate anything that the FBI finds. So, you know, unless a school decides to pull itself from the tournament, but if they think their players are eligible, they have no reason to do that. So the only thing we may see is Sean Miller not coaching Arizona, but that's pretty much it.
How do you think this shakes out, Jerry?
Well, I don't. It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, the FBI is looking at criminal charges. They're not here to investigate the NCAA's rules, right? They're looking for things like fraud and racketeering and whatever it is that they're doing. But that's what the FBI is looking for. And some other stuff may emerge as a part of that. But NCAA is going to have a lot to go on once the FBI is finally done with this.
Let me ask you about a couple of teams from the Southeastern Conference. I never thought, I don't know if you did, but I never thought before the season started that the SEC regular season championship would come down to the final day between Auburn and Tennessee. How does Tennessee strike you? How are they doing what they're doing, and how well suited are they for success in the tournament?
Well, I think, first of all, it's a team that's got good chemistry and good guard play. And it's Grant Williams, if I get his name right. Grant Williams having a terrific year inside. And, they're just, they were picked 13th in the league, I guess, just overlooked. But probably, a great coaching job by Rick Barnes, getting these guys to play collectively better than the sum of their parts. And usually when that kind of thing happens, you've got a team with good chemistry that knows how to play together well. And that's, I think, what you're seeing with Tennessee.
Let me ask you about something else. Out of your top seeds, your top one and two seeds, two teams that I like, a buddy of mine really likes Cincinnati in terms of how they're set up for postseason success, and he really likes Purdue. Both of those are two seeds right now. Can you speak to those teams in terms of hidden value in the tournament?
Well, Cincinnati is a grinder. It's kind of like, you'll play in Virginia a little bit in that they're going to play defense first. They're going to get physical with you, even though they're not especially, big and tall necessarily. I mean, they've got big guys, but they're not, they haven't got 7-footers or anything. But they do like to – they get into you physically defensively. They get into you physically offensively. They're going to grind you out and make you work hard at both ends of the floor. And they've got some pretty good players. I mean, Gary Clark in particular is good. An all-league player, could possibly even be the conference player of the year for Cincinnati. So, yeah, I mean, they're always a tough out because they're a team that you just don't enjoy playing against. Purdue, I can speak a little bit about Purdue because I'm a Purdue grad, so
right.
I've seen them once or twice. Purdue could beat you in a lot of different ways. They're a good defensive team. Again, it's good team defense. But offensively, they've got a 7'2" kid from Alabama, actually, Oak Bluff, Isaac Haas, who's a force inside. And once he gets the ball in the paint, it's almost automatic. But if you decide to double team him, they've got four guys shooting over 40% from the 3-point line, and you got to leave one of them open. And so they can beat you that way, too. Carson Edwards, a sophomore, they start four seniors, but he's a sophomore, is a first-team all-conference player that can drive and can shoot. He scored 40 points against Illinois. He's an explosive performer at both ends of the floor, and Purdue's a very difficult team to beat when they're on their game.
One final team I want to ask you about, and I saw them play, and they seem to be one of those Jekyll and Hyde teams, depending on whether they're home or on the road. But from the SEC, you've got Arkansas as a 6. What about the job Mike Anderson has done there?
Yeah, they've come on strong here late in the season, which, they were a big part of that middle of the league that couldn't seem to make up its mind what it wanted to do. the win at Alabama was big for them because that was a road win for a team that had not been good on the road. And I think it's a bit of a springboard for them to move up the bracket now with a strong finish to this season. Yeah, I think Mike Anderson is a really good coach. Arkansas is not an easy job, and yet he's consistently good there. And of course, Arkansas fans, I mean, at times, you know, they're like, well, we should be better. We should get rid of Mike Anderson. But, you know, I think he does a pretty good job there. So, they're on a bit of a roll right now and playing themselves up into the, you know, top 25 territory.
Yeah, the way they played recently has been quite impressive, and certainly a lot of people talking about them as maybe a sleeper in the tournament, the way they've been playing of late, no doubt.
Their defense, the way they pressure you defensively, West Virginia does this too, although I think they do it differently, always gives you trouble. And when you're trying to prepare to play them in the tournament, you don't have a lot of time to prepare for them. That can be difficult in a tournament situation.
One final question that I've got, and just an opinion piece on this as well. Big Ten tournament started yesterday. Why are they playing a week early? Is it because of maybe showcasing themselves to the tournament committee?
No, it has to do with wanting to they've been trying to market the league to New York. That's why Rutgers is in the league. Hmm. They've been trying to expand the league's brand into New York City and that marketplace. I don't think New York City's ever going to care about the Big Ten, but that's what they've been trying to do. And so one thing that they wanted to do was put the tournament in Madison Square Garden, but they can't do that next week because the Big East is there and they're signed through like 2026 to play in the Garden on that weekend. So they moved the tournament a week early so they could play in Madison Square Garden. Through the entire conference schedule into flux, it was bad for everybody. The coaches hated the idea, but they did it anyway. And so there they are. And now they're going to have almost 2 weeks off between the end of their tournament and the beginning of the NCAA tournament. It'll be interesting to see how, you know, the tournament teams from the Big Ten are affected by that. Purdue actually will probably enjoy the break because they played in the World University Games this summer, so they've played more than everybody else. But I don't know how it's going to affect everybody.
Well, just to illustrate, Rutgers played yesterday in the opening round. They beat Minnesota. Attendance was listed at 14,000. I'm not sure about that.
I would be surprised if there were 14,000 actual people in the stands. But the morning game drew flies.
Yeah, ticket.
But, of course, that's, you know, double-digit seeds on a weekday afternoon.
Right.
So, you know.
Right.
Now, Jerry, how often will you be updating your brackets over the next several days?
At least daily. As we get into next weekend, maybe a little bit more often, but at least daily at this point.
And as we always like to ask every year, you're very accurate in your prediction. How did it go last year with your final bracket before it was officially announced on Selection
Sunday? I
got
all the teams right in the bracket last year.
Man.
Everyone. That's difficult to do. Jerry, we certainly will check in with you soon. Again, he is the chief CBS Sports bracketologist, Jerry Palm. He is the bracketologist at CBSSports.com. Jerry Palm, thank you as always. Very informative stuff.
All right, thank you.
All right, Jerry, great stuff on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline.